Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, June 30th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the link that says Start Here in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years, improve the quality of my life, improve my relationships, and effectively turn any negative emotion I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each of us have been gifted. You can also download the actual tool itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on it, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, in which people have called in and been stepped through the worksheet process or given powerful testimonials about how well that process has improved the quality of their life as they apply it in their life. And we hope people do that soon and often, because that usually raises questions for them. And if you have a question, give us a call. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, a little question mark will go up by your phone number and I'll announce you by your area code. Alternatively, you can send an email to jeannie@jeannie@whyagain.org. Or you can send an email to me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And we'll be happy to answer or discuss those questions and talk about them on the air. And then you can listen to the archives. The archives are available through whyagain.org, whyagain.org, and just click on the microphone, the picture of the microphone. We've also been doing the Course in Miracles experiments this year, and today is the 181st day of the year, and this is an introduction to lessons 181 through 200. The commentary reads, our next few lessons make a special point of firming up your willingness to make your weak commitment strong, to bring your scattered goals blending into one intention. You are not asked for total dedication all the time as yet, but you are asked to practice now in order to attain the presence and the sense of peace that such a unified commitment will bestow, if only intermittently for now. It is experiencing this that makes it sure you will give your total willingness later on. Our lessons are now geared specifically to widening horizons and to direct approaches to the special blocks that keep your vision narrow. And so we start our journey beyond words by concentrating first on what impedes your progress. Experience of what exists beyond defensiveness remains beyond your ability to achieve it at this time. You have to admit that you're defensive. It might be there, but you cannot accept its presence, this thing that exists beyond your defensiveness. So we now attempt to go past all defenses for a little while each day. No more than this is asked, because no more than this is needed. It will be enough to guarantee that the rest will come. And so today's lesson, lesson 181, reads, I trust my brothers who are one with me. The commentary reads, trusting your brothers is essential to establishing and holding up your faith in your ability to transcend doubt and lack of sure conviction in yourself. When you attack a brother mentally with your mind, you proclaim that he is limited by what you have perceived in him. You do not look beyond what you perceive as his errors. Rather, they are magnified, becoming blocks to your own awareness of the capital S self in you that lies beyond your own mistakes. So perception has a focus. It is this that gives consistency to what you see. If you change this focus, what you behold will change accordingly. Your vision now will shift and support the intention you have, which replaced the intention you held before. Remove your focus from your perception of your brother's, quote, sins, close quotes, and you experience the peace that comes from faith in sinlessness. Therefore, in practicing today, first, let all such little focuses give way to our great need to let our sinlessness become apparent. A major hazard to success has been involvement with your past and future goals. You've been quite preoccupied with how extremely different the goals this course is advocating are from the goals you've held in the past. And you've also been dismayed by the depressing and restricting thought that even if you should succeed, you'll inevitably lose your way again. Well, it doesn't really matter. The past is gone. The future must be imagined. These concerns are but defenses against present moment change of focus in perception. They are nothing more than defenses against changing your perception right now. So we're going to lay these pointless limitations aside for a while. We're going to enter in the time of practicing with one intent, to look upon the sinlessness within. We recognize that we've lost this goal if anger blocks our way in any form, and if a brother or sister's apparent sinfulness occurs to us, our narrowed focus will restrict our sight, and it will make us think that we are full of mistake and sin, and it will magnify our call and call our sins real. So for a little while, without regard to the past or the future, all such blocks arise. We will transcend them with instructions to our minds to change their focus, and we will say, it is not this that I would look upon. I trust my brothers and sisters who are one with me. So the world, which once proclaimed our sins, becomes the proof that we are sinless, and our love for everyone we look upon attests to our remembrance of the holy capital S self, which knows no sin, and never could conceive of anything without its sinlessness. We seek for this remembrance as we turn our minds into our practicing today. We neither look ahead nor backwards. We look straight into the present. Our sinlessness is but the will of the Creator. This instant, our willingness is one with His. So that's my offering in today's lesson. And we're also doing the Pam Grout Course in Miracles experiment. And lesson 181 in Pam Grout's book is titled Emancipation Proclamation. She quotes Eckhart Tolle as saying, "There's great freedom in not compulsively interpreting other people and situations." Pam writes, "The next 20 lessons have a specific goal, and that is my liberation. I do this by simply changing focus. Lesson 181, I trust my brothers who are one with me, asks for a simple commitment to move from the courtroom of my mind that imposes judgment on pretty much everyone and everything, move from there to the open field of brazen acceptance. This is done by giving up compulsive thinking, at least for a little while each day. I do this by asking for the aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit, asking to look beyond perceived errors, admitting that if I see it out there, it originated in my mind. No longer do I confuse reality with the racing thoughts in my head. I look behind the screen of misconstrued concepts that blame others as the source of my pain. If anger comes up, I simply notice and I ask for deliverance. It is not this that I want to look upon. Never mind that it will undoubtedly come up again, that I will inevitably lose my way again. Don't worry about that. How could it matter? What matters is my commitment to look straight into the present, not backward, not forward. Look into the present now." So that's our Course in Miracles lesson and commentary from Pam Grout. And we have 47 minutes left to discuss, step somebody through a worksheet if that's what's useful, entertain your comments, questions, answers, and soliloquies. How can we support you today? What would be of use in your Wednesday, the last day of June, 2021? Our call-in number again is 563-999-3581. We had a support group last night, and it was one of those times again where we were just doing discussion and processing for the members on the group, and we didn't have a lecture or a video or an audio to integrate. We just started talking about the flow, and one of our members gave a very powerful testimonial. She's probably been attending the support group fairly regularly for more than 6 years. And she was asking about how could she get other people to start attending the group or using the tools. And my answer was that the most useful way for me, the most productive way for me to do that is for me to use the tools in my own life and become a model, become the modeling agent, because the vast majority of whatever anybody learns from me comes by watching how I live my life, not by any lectures I give them. And once I had said that, she said, "Yeah, I get that, and I'm doing that, she said, but still, my family just looks at me and says, oh, you know, that's Betty. And she said, I'm using these tools, and I am handling a divorce I didn't want like a rock star. Yet my family just looks at it and says, oh, that's just Betty. I'm making up that name. So powerful testimonials about the work and a request for how do I get more people to do this work? My answer to that is always, I don't get other people to do this work. I just focus on my own work. And anybody who's willing, that's one of the joys for me and something I'm so grateful for in this work, is that for anybody who's willing, these tools are available absolutely free. 10 years worth of archives for the how-to, the actual tool itself. The app is free. The PDF file that contains the tool is free. There are free, absolutely free resources at whyagain.org and absolutely free resources at mindshiftersacademy.org. And I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today, and it was my experience, you know, right or wrong, my experience was somebody was using the tool but making a change in it. And I had perceived that the change in the tool that they were making would put more of a reliance on the therapist or the coach to help the person get the results that they needed or wanted. And I was, you know, moved to talk about how the reason I have donated so much of my time, energy, intelligence, and money for this set of tools is because anybody can pick them up just the way they're offered for free on the show, on the internet itself, in the support groups. Anybody can pick those tools up and get great results. They don't need the outside coach. The outside coaching is lovely. Sometimes when people have trauma, that's stuff they'll require some support with to get the deep results they want. And it's not necessary. With the willingness, with the way the tools are presented, if you stay right in line with the core of the presentation, the tools just explain to you how your mind and body energy system works. And you get to understand that anytime you're creating a negative emotion, that's what you're going to be experiencing. So anytime you experience a negative emotion, that's your own creation. And if you can step into the use of the tools and get access to how you're creating this emotion and understand it, then if you don't like it, change is possible. And if people stay very, very close to these tools, they don't need a genius therapist, they don't need a genius coach, they don't need anything from the outside, and they can get phenomenal, life-changing results. And those tools include, but are not limited to, the Reality Management Worksheet, the 3 Early Memories of Conflict, the Mind Goal Management Worksheet, and the Codependence to Interdependence Worksheet that has me figure out who I think has offended me in my life and what my advice is for them and what they did to me and my punishment thought for them, and then step into the realization that whatever advice my mind has come up with for them, it might be really good advice for them, and it's perfect advice for me. Absolutely perfect advice for me. And if I'm willing to step into a process to actively engage, applying my advice to them in my life will get better by leaps and bounds. If I think somebody needs to focus more on themselves and do their own work, that's the best advice in the world for me. If I think somebody needs to cancel a goal and let go of their desire to change somebody else, that's the best advice in the world for me. If I think somebody needs to be more patient and kind and understanding, that's perfect advice for me in that moment. And that's just one of the more powerful tools in the toolkit that Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice make available at whyagain.org. Again, that's another tool. It's available absolutely free. It's the codependence to interdependence worksheet that has me list out everybody I think has ever offended me, what they did to me in my estimation, what my punishment thought is, how I would like to punish them for this horrible thing I think they did to me, my advice to them, and then finally how I'm going to apply my advice to them in my life. And the understanding in that dynamic that I'm actually constantly, every time I give advice, I'm in the presence of my unconscious trying to get me to see what I need to do to make my life better. And the more I focus on the person on the outside, the more I let that perception that my own mind has created drive my behavior, the more I stay locked in a prison that's focused on people and things outside of me that not only do I not have any control over, but they didn't have anything to do with the generation, me generating, creating, and experiencing the emotion that's up in me. So the core of this work is so elegantly simple that for most people, the conscious logical mind, some would call it the ego, will not let them perceive how powerful the tools can be. And that is because the truth of our lives and how we create emotions and how we experience them and what we do with our thoughts, our mind energy, the truth of it is relentlessly simple. And our ego, our conscious logical mind, our wounded self, whatever you want to call it, is forever complicating things and trying to make them seem far more complicated than they ever were. And the fact of the matter is, if I step into the use of these tools, as I have been doing for the past 17 years, I can move out of upset, sometimes in just one or two worksheets or breath sessions or EFT tapping sessions, I can move out of upset without anything on the outside changing, without anybody repaying the money that I believe they stole from me, without anybody apologizing for the horrible thing my mind tells me they did. And yeah, they might have done something that was rude or abusive or illegal or immoral, and that is not causing my negative emotional state. Absolutely, 100% of the time, every emotion I experience is created inside me. And all the great spiritual traditions that have practical tools at work see the same thing. It is an inside job, first, last, and always. So we have a variety of tools we can help people step through. We have a vast array of knowledge and experience with all of those tools. We'd be happy to answer your questions or entertain your comments. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. I'm getting close to this listening of the book by Gabor Mate, In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts, and he's talking about addiction and trauma and the roots of addiction being that addiction is pretty much rooted in trauma and the changes that occur in the human brain and And one of those links that I clicked through led me to a Jill Bolte Taylor video, and she's got a new book out, and she's, for those that don't know, Jill Bolte Taylor, B-O-L-T-E. I believe her first book was titled My Stroke of Genius, but she's a neurologist, researcher, and she had her own stroke. And the gift of that was that she was able to observe the process of stroke. And as she recovered, she was able to add to the existing knowledge about the effects of stroke and which part of the brain and recovery. And so in this particular video, she was talking about the 90-second rule. And for her money and the research that she's done and been involved in and read in other places, when we have an intense negative emotion, she and other researchers have studied what are the parts of the brain that are involved in this and what are the energetic changes or the physiological chemical reactions that lead to a burst of anxiety or depression or anger, etc. And what they've come to believe is that there is a 90-second window, and if you can get a clock, a watch, a timer on your phone, and if you get into a panicky feeling, if you get a high anxiety, if you get a rage experience, and you stay with it and breathe and watch the clock, you will notice that 90 seconds later, it's beginning to fade, if not completely gone. And so she's offering this as a technique to help people move past their anxiety and panic feelings. So we have someone with a hand up, area code 959. You're in the air. Who do we have? Give us a name and where you're calling from.
Oh, my name is Faithful. I'm calling from Connecticut. I just popped in because I was just like, wait a minute, because I'm looking through him. Like, I see, like, words that I recognize because I'm seeing, like, Ruha and all that stuff because I'm my dad's side of family are from, like, Iran. We're, like, Assyrian.
And can you give me your first name again?
Faithful.
Faithful?
Yeah, I don't want to make fun of my name, but I like to rhyme it. It's like Basil or Pencil, but like Stacy, but like Faithful.
All right. So you were asking about different words that you've seen on the website, and your family is from Iran, you said?
Yeah, they're from Yarmouk, Iran. And I recognize some of the word, like Ruha, like I know it means like spirit.
Okay. Is there a specific question? Do you just want me to talk a little bit about the ancient Aramaic language?
Well, I just popped in for like 5 minutes. I kind of was just kind of getting into like you know, what was being talked about and stuff like that.
Well, the root of this work with Dr. Michael Rice comes from two primary sources. One of them is the oldest known copy of the New Testament, which was called the Kabor's manuscript because it came from the Kibor River area. And he was the director of a foundation that was in charge of translating it directly from the ancient Aramaic into English. And so part of his work is informed by that. That's why there are words from the ancient Aramaic like Ruka, Ruka Dekucha, Shabag, etc. And part of his work is informed by the Course in Miracles work. And what he says is these are the only two places that he's found the same definition for forgiveness. And forgiveness has nothing to do with pardoning somebody or letting them off the hook for doing something bad to me. Forgiveness is a tool for going inside myself and removing the negative emotions, the negative thought energy, the false beliefs that lead to negative perceptions. And so he puts forth this ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness. In ancient Aramaic, the word that was translated into Greek and then into English as forgiveness is shebag or shebak, and it means to cancel or dismantle. And so this is a tool. He's got a worksheet process that you can use anytime you're upset. Anyone can use it. It's available absolutely free. Anytime we're upset, we can map out in the first three steps of the worksheet what our conscious logical mind is doing and what we're telling ourselves has to happen for us to feel better, and then cancel that and get access to the hidden part of our mind that's actually causing our upset and literally change our state of mind, change our emotions, change our awareness of what's driving our experience of life right there in the moment. And that was the ancient Aramaic meaning for forgiveness. It's a complete inside job, and it's a tool for removing from my inner energy system, my mind-body energy system, anything that doesn't belong there. And Rukha and Rachma are these words from the ancient Aramaic that he bumped into some native Aramaic speakers when he was on the West Coast a number of years ago, and he asked them excitedly, you know, what's your knowledge of the meaning of the word Rachma? And they said, it's lost to us. All we know is we're told that the essence of Rachma is it's the most precious gift anyone could have. And from the translation work that he did, that he had people do with the Gaboris manuscript, Michael Rice has understood Rachma to be a filter in the mind over intention that when it is set to Rachma, allows only intentions keyed to love or your true nature as a loving human being to be used as the building blocks for our goals. And so it's a way to let this presence of the Creator into the human mind and let us be aware of our true nature as effectively the energy of creation expressing in form. It's a way to keep everything in alignment and keep people in touch with how we're all connected, we're all part of the creation, we're all equal, we're all deserving of respect and cherishing, etc.
Okay. Well, I do have an Aramaic last name. I could put that out there. I wasn't really raised like my dad, like he knows very fluently, but I know like certain words, but I wasn't really taught because, you know, my mom is not a Syrian, so she didn't, you know, I only know English for the most part, so.
All right, but, well, there are very powerful tools that are available that are rooted in your history's your family history's native language, and they're available absolutely free on the website at whyagain.org. We'd be happy to have you explore that, and I'm sure Dr. Michael Rice would love to have any feedback from you or any of your family that are native Aramaic speakers, and he would enjoy the collaboration, I'm sure.
I don't have anyone here. I'm like kind of alone. So, but yeah, I was just kind of, you know, was going. I was like, because I usually, you know, they don't always talk about Assyrian people or anything. And I'm like, it kind of caught to my surprise. I saw the list of words. I'm like, okay, I recognize some of those words, like Kabua, like the river. I know there's Assyrian villages that lives right along to the river. So a lot of things have happened because of, you know, ISIS and, you know, a lot of stuff has happened over there. A lot of those people pretty much had to leave because of, you know, what was going on. pretty much like my family history. We all left because of, you know, it's like we're not welcome there, pretty much.
Yes, unfortunately, that has happened across the globe over thousands and thousands of years, that we fight with each other and we think one of us is better than the other. And there's another person you might want to check out, because his life's work ever since he was in his mid-20s has been looking into the ancient Aramaic language and the ancient Greek, and his name is Dale Allen Hoffman. And you can go to his website and get all kinds of great stuff, or follow him on Instagram. And he does a lot of very practical work with discovering what was the ancient wisdom and how can we apply it in our lives to make our lives better today.
Right.
Just like Dr. Michael Rice with the whyagain.org website.
Okay. Yeah, I can check it out at some point.
So, do you have a question for us?
Well, I know you guys mentioned something about, like, health stuff and things like that. I have been experiencing a lot of different things. Ever since I took the second dose from the COVID shot, I've been having a lot of issues. Like, I was getting, like, shingles. Never had shingles. Like, yeah, I had chicken pox when I was little. You know, I've been sick with other things the past month. And it's kind of like I'm going to the doctors, like, maybe like 4 or 5 times already in the last month. It's quite frustrating.
Well, and that would be a perfect reason to pick up a tool like the Reality Management Worksheet and dismantle the frustration, dismantle the sadness, dismantle the fear. And one of the ways to think about it is, then when my energy system is free and clear and I'm not pouring all of that energy into the negative emotion, there's a lot more energy available for my immune system and my other health systems to do the work, to protect me, to clean up things, to strengthen things. And you could call back when Dr. Michael Rice is on in the second hour. He's going to be here in about 25 minutes. And he's a doctor of naturopathic medicine as well. He might have some specific ideas for you related to cleansing or detoxification.
Okay. So the second hour, that's, I know right now it's 12:37 Eastern time.
Yeah, so starting at 1 o'clock Eastern, Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie will take over the microphone from me, and he has a doctorate in naturopathic medicine. If you have a specific question about detoxing or strengthening your immune system or resolving some of the effects that might either be emotional or they might be tied to the physical energy system related to the coronavirus vaccine you got, he'd be happy to address those for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely call back around 1 o'clock.
All right. Well, good luck to you, and feel free to check out the website and or Dale Allen Hoffman's website, and I wish you well.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. You're welcome. So our caller number is 563-999-3581. And if you call that number, like Stacyful did, we can have a conversation. How can we support you? What is on your mind? What would you benefit from us discussing for the next 20 minutes or almost 20 minutes? As I was mentioning before, the 90-second rule that comes from Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor's research tells us that if we can tolerate our upset, our panic, our anxiety for 90 seconds and watch the clock and keep our breath moving, we will notice that it fades in intensity. Is this Susan?
It is. Hi, Dr. Tim.
Welcome.
I love that idea. Thanks. Yesterday, I was on with, or maybe it was the day before. Yesterday was crazy. With Michael, because my grandson Charlie had been sending me nonstop texts. And it was a perfect example of what the mind of a teenager with OCD might be doing. At least it was a perfect example of what Charlie was doing. And it was alarming and entertaining and educational and everything. At the end of it, Michael said, "Are you keeping active present love as you're with him?" And I thought, well, of course, I'm his grandmother. But I was watching my responses, and they weren't, I mean, I guess it's, I assume it's always active because I'm his grandmother and I love the guy. But I was watching, I had to drive him yesterday to a baseball thing, and on the way there and on the way back, he tries to engage me in discussions which give him little hits of reassurance. And he's very wily about how he presents the questions that he wants to ask because he knows I have agreed with his doctor that as soon as he starts on that track, we are supposed to say, "I'm so sorry, can't talk to you about that. Just cannot give you any reassurance there, not at all, nothing. And he'll say things like, "Oh, this isn't about that. This is something else." And, but I can tell by the way he's speaking that he needs and wants reassurance. And it struck me that it's like an addiction. He gets a little hit. He says, "When you answer me the way I want to hear you, you tell me something I want to hear, I can take a breath and I feel okay for a while." And he'll make promises. "If you answer this, I won't need to ask you any more questions. This will be it." And of course it isn't. 10 minutes later, if not shorter time, he'll start in again. And basically our whole trip yesterday, going and coming, was me doing my best to be peaceful and allowing. You said something once. You said something like, "Okay, you know, just letting him do what he's doing. But what he's doing requires a response. And if I sit there and do nothing, he gets very agitated."
Right,
and
right.
Upset.
But wait a minute. Be careful. You just said what he's doing requires a response.
Yeah.
That is not true.
It wants
and
one.
Then you were, and then you were about to say, if I don't give him a response, he gets more agitated.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to call your awareness to the false cause and effect relationship that you are creating in your mind that says when you refuse to answer him the way he wants, it causes him to get more upset. And that is false.
Okay, good.
It might happen in very, very close proximity. It might happen consistently when you don't answer him the way he wants. And your response is not causing his reaction. They may be highly correlated, but they are a high correlation between events does not determine a cause and effect relationship.
Okay,
just
good.
Because two things happen in close proximity doesn't mean one is causing the other.
Right.
And we've talked about that before. I've given numerous examples. Right, the wind that moves the wind chimes, but the person can't see it, and they don't know anything about wind. But they see the tree moving, and then they hear the chime sound. And when they go out, they go to shake the tree because they want to hear the chimes move because they think it was the movement of the trees that caused the chimes to move. It isn't. It's just that they're correlated because there's a third factor that isn't the trees or the chime that was moving both the trees and the chime that they didn't hear and see. You are not causing upset in anyone, but specifically in this case in your grandson. when you refuse to answer him. And it is so important for you to understand that so that you can help by your actions, not your words, demonstrate that to him. And I mean by that your refusal to participate. And eventually, one day, his anxiety, his obsession, his demand that you do something, you'll have put it so thoroughly on extinction that he will stop trying to get you to do things, at least
okay.
The frequency with which he tries to get you to do things will change, because you will have put it on extinction, essentially. But every time you give in, you reinforce the idea that all he has to do is push hard enough, long enough, and then he can get what he wants from you. And in this case, what he wants from you is participation in his obsession and his compulsion. Which, and you're very right, it is very much like a drug, and it is a hit. And they can watch how different parts of the brain are locked in simultaneous stimulation that shouldn't be when people are having this obsessive compulsive episode. And so we know there's brain involvement, but we also know that it's trained as well as physiological, and people get convinced that they need this, that, or the other thing in order to have a change, and they don't.
So, all right, this is very helpful to clarify the cause and effect. There is no cause and effect. There's that third factor, that he is choosing to react a certain way when I refuse to engage, and that I am not causing. How many times have I had to hear that, Dr. Tim? But I needed to hear it again. Okay, so I heard it again. And he makes accusations and so forth, but it's all the same thing. It's all pressure to get me engaged. He begs, he says, one last time, just answer me this one thing. And if I say I can't answer you, even that appears to be an answer. So
okay,
I guess
so
I have to be silent.
You can either be silent or you can adopt a one-liner type phrase. Love and Logic, in that system, they have a very good thing where they say, pick your one-liner and use it all the time.
Okay.
So what's the one-liner? It might be, what did I say? If I answer a question once, I never answer it again. I let them tell me, what did I say? This is for a child who wants me to make a decision or change my mind. It works even when people aren't obsessive compulsive. But what it does is it's a program that I rehearse. It's a statement. It's a behavior I rehearse that effectively pulls me out of the unproductive, repetitive pattern with the other person. So you might say, what did I say? We've been over this. Sorry. No thanks. Whatever you choose that fits your style and your personality, and you just keep repeating it. At some point in time, as you repeat it, the behavior that isn't getting reinforced, and you hit on it, sometimes anything you say is enough of a reinforcement for him, so you need to keep silent. Or find a way to leave the area. You know, that's another option. Sometimes with people, they will engage in so much pestering and badgering and harassment that I can't stay there and stay silent. To actually break the pattern, I have to leave the area physically.
Yeah, that's why being in the car for 40 minutes each way is a great opportunity for him to really put on the heat, but I can still absent myself mentally. I could do that.
Yeah, and the trick is to do it and still be holding those loving thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? That's that.
And I wasn't.
Conscious,
yeah.
Active, present love that Michael Rice talks about. Active,
right.
Present love is always there. We aren't always conscious about it.
Mm-hmm.
We can be distracted and focusing on other things and have thoughts of resentment or bitterness or fear crop up. And if we don't actively work to dismantle them, then they become, you know, the primary experience. They become the conscious
right.
experience.
Mm.
And what we're advocating in this work is removing, and this was one of the Course in Miracles points today in Course in Miracles lesson, we are going to be removing the obstacles to that calm, to that connection, to that peacefulness,
to
seeing the truth of our true nature as Rachma. So somebody just raised a hand, and area code 828, you're in the air.
Hi, this is Magda. How are you doing?
Good. What's your input, Magda?
Yeah, I just wanted to add something, an example of how I was once upon a time able to extinguish a behavior that I engaged in with my parents. This is after they had moved out of state after their retirement, and as was true all through my life with them at home, and even after I was an adult visiting them, when they would engage in their quarrels and verbal back and forth, I would also engage by trying to help them see clearly what was going on and what did she really mean and so forth. And I finally decided that is of no use. So I went to visit them one Christmas, and I didn't even really announce it. I simply, every time that they would start raising their voices and getting into a quarrel, I would simply get my jacket and I would say, I'm going for a walk, and I would go. And it did not take very many times of doing that when I was greeted with the information when I got back that we understand what you're doing and you don't have to worry about it anymore. And they never did raise their voices and have quarrels while I was there again. I know it didn't extinguish their behavior with each other, but I was out of it. And it was easy. It was so easy. I just wanted to add that.
Well, it's an excellent example. I'm glad it worked well for you.
It did, yes. And I was in a place of love when I did it, as opposed to huffing out because I was upset, which really made it
easy.
That's
a key point.
For me. Yeah,
that's
it really
right.
is.
That's a key point.
Yeah.
Could you repeat that? I'm having trouble understanding, Magda. There's a muffled
All right, so
sound.
Here it is.
Yeah.
She said she was in a space of loving energy when she would put on her coat and walk out the door. She did not do it in a huff. And I said, that's a key point. You know, if I'm doing it from anger or fear or sadness, I'm going to get a completely different result. As with anything, if I do it from a space of feeling the loving connection, feeling the loving energy flowing through me.
That's so helpful. Good.
Oh, great, great. Well, it was an excellent question that you brought up, so I'm glad I could add just a little bit to that.
So, Magda, how's your processing been going?
I spent quite a long time doing the mind shifter that you gave me and have many worksheets to do out of that. And I haven't done any of them yet. I will.
But you did do some time with the mind shifter?
Oh, yeah, yeah. About 2.5 hours. And run it out pretty well. So there's just a lot there. Yeah.
Excellent.
That was a great mind shifter. Yeah, it was excellent. It was a great mind shifter, and I thank you so much. So all I have to do is the next part.
Well, you know, all in good time and when you're ready. But, you know, congratulations on your willingness to do that work and for, in a manner of speaking, breaking the logjam.
Yes. Yeah. Truly. Truly an important piece of work. And so it was good, and we'll get better.
Excellent. Well, I thank you for the call and for your input. It's an excellent point and a wonderful example of, you know, putting something on extinction. And it doesn't always work that well, but it always has the potential to work that well, right? The other person has to receive it. The other person is responsible for their participation. And
right.
I don't have control over that. That's why it's so useful to be involved in this work that talks about canceling my goal, whether it's for myself or the other person or my life situation, because that's not something I have control over.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm, right, when I'm focusing on the things I have control over, my life goes better. When I focus on things I don't have control over, I generate in that moment the sensations of frustration and irritability.
Yeah. And at that time, I was not aware of having goals and what it meant. And now that you say that, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, my goal for myself was that I could cure their problem. And my goal for them was that they would learn how to get along very well. So I guess when I decided to just leave the situation, that I had dropped both of those goals without formally knowing it. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Well, I thank you for that question and comment. Susan, is there any last comment you'd like to make before we do the switch over to the second hour?
No, you know, but that was very helpful, Dr. Tim. Cause and effect, yeah, having a good look at that and having a phrase and being able to leave Magda, if I can, I will. And keeping active present love. Boy, 4 great juicy things. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you for the questions and comments. I'll mute you and get ready for the transition. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Good conversation with Susan and Magda. I just came into the tail end of it.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know that Staceful, who is the 959 call, is someone who, I believe he says from Iran, but he has perhaps some questions for Michael related to the energy system and how he's physically had symptoms since he had the coronavirus vaccine. And so I will... support you in having a wonderful show and sign off.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Wednesday, June the 30th, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we'll give just a few minutes for Michael to get dialed in, and then I'll turn Staceful's number back on. And in the meantime, I invite everybody to go to the website, whyagain.org. There's all kinds of free tools, videos, audios, the book, all the worksheets. There's just lots and lots of information. Put the tools to work in your life. We're here 5 days a week if you need support. And then you also can drop an email to me at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, or you can call us if you have our number. And we're always here to support you with your questions. So first I'm going to say welcome, Michael. And we've already got someone. Dr. Tim said that he had a question for you about the energy system and some of the things that he has felt energetically since having COVID. So that person is on hold whenever you're ready to take the first call.
Cool. Let's go right for it. Let's say hello.
All right. Stacel, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome. What's happening?
Good.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, I kind of popped in because I saw these Aramaic words. I have a Syrian background. Even though I don't speak Assyrian,
right?
And I have a high like Shlama. But I've been having issue with like health ever since I got my second dose from the COVID shots. I've been having I started off having like shingles, and I have other things like, you know, like skin infections that are having a hard time healing.
Ouch.
Like on my finger, like right now, it's like swelling up and it's in pain. I've been dealing with that for like probably like almost 2 weeks now. And then I've been dealing with like strep throat. You know, it's just like all in one go. It's just,
that's a lot.
It never happens. Yeah. The doctor told me I could have a weak immune system, but I don't know. It's not my real job. It's like a walking clinic, but
right.
I don't know.
Right. You know, it sounds to me like what you need to be doing is boosting your immunity, and so you might want to get your vitamin D3 levels checked, your vitamin C
right.
levels, and are you taking enough vitamin C? You know, things like selenium. Selenium is a viral birth control pill, basically, so it helps to keep any viruses from moving around.
Right.
You know, I just do the whole smattering vitamin E, vitamin D3, C, zinc, and strengthen, you know, and it could be, and I'm no expert, I don't know much of anything on the whole, you know, altering the process with genetic alteration information. So I really don't have any suggestions from that point of view. But my training, it would simply be strengthen your immunity. And it could be that maybe with the shot, you know, one of the things that they sometimes do is they challenge the immunity, and it might just be a little bit of an overload for your system. And if so, your body will probably balance it out and move forward, but give it all the support you can. And of course, if there's any kind of hostility or fear happening in your world, that would be another thing that puts a load on the immune system. And that's where our work is, worksheets and
soap point
breathing and those sorts of things.
Yeah, I've been dealing with a lot of stress too, a lot of financial distress. Of course, being out of work because of being sick also don't help.
Definitely adds to the stress. Have you gotten into using the reality management forgiveness processes yet?
No.
Okay. Well, that would be a tool we can offer you, and there's several ways you can access it. You can go to our website, whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner of the homepage, there's a link that says Start Here. You can go click that Start Here and just follow the links. It'll walk you through the whole forgiveness process. You can do the worksheet right there on the computer. You can also go to your app store on your phone and type in the words Heartland, H-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. And you'll have that app on your phone. You can start doing the forgiveness process. And the whole thesis behind the app is, you know, the Greeks tell us, you know, if I'm in pain, it's somebody else's fault. And so all I need to do is forgive them, and then everything will be okay. Well, the reverse
right.
is true. If I'm in pain, I've put an energy into my system that doesn't belong in my system, and my diseases and my disorders and my discomforts are my structure trying to respond to and take care of those things. And so one of the main ways that we create stress, you know, a lot of people think, well, this is a stressful situation. Actually, there's no such thing as a stressful situation. What there are situations that challenge us physically, and then with our mind, we create stress. And the way we create stress is by setting a goal. You'll notice that you never get anything done unless you've got a goal to do it. And you're never upset with anybody unless they're violating a goal that you hold for them. And that's because when you set a goal in your mind, you create a stress. And the core of forgiveness from the first century Aramaic language is the canceling of goals that create stress, and therefore the alleviation of that stress energy, the removal of the stress energy. So forgiveness means remove the load on the system. And it sounds like your system, maybe the, you know, with all the other stresses going on, then injecting that stressor into your system has just pushed you over the edge. And if you can take care of some of those other stresses, you might find your system able to adapt to it, and you'll just rock on and be fine. That'd be my highest thought.
So is there, like, the words in Aramaic that's supposed to help with, like, issues?
Well, in Aramaic, there's a concept, or there's a pair of words that describe what the Greeks mistranslated as the Holy Spirit, but that actually speaks of a literal elemental force in us that undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. It's called Ruka Dikudsha. The Greeks translated those words as the Holy Spirit, but it's nothing to do with a disembodied spirit being. It's actually it has to do with the movement of breath within us. And you'll notice if you're in trauma or turmoil, one of the first things most people do is lock up and hold your breath. And when we lock up and hold the breath, we can't process those energies, and they tend to build up and, again, create more and more stress in the system. So when you call on or you activate that, in Aramaic, it would be defined as a feminine elemental force in us that undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. So when I am willing and I breathe instead of hold my breath in the presence of this stress, which just puts a lid on it and creates a bigger pressure cooker, when I let the lid off and breathe and invite that elemental force, and there's no real language in the, or word, there are no real words in the English language to describe this, except that there is this elemental force, and inviting, asking for support and assistance can, and when you're in a receptive place, you can get guidance. You know, the real teacher, there is no teacher out in the outer world that's ever going to take you to the ultimate place you want to go with any teaching. The real teacher is within you already, and it's about uncovering that. And that in Aramaic would be represented by the words Ruka Dikudsha. But it's a you know, far more, what should I say, detailed and complex concept than the English language even starts to imply.
Yeah. I definitely recognize the word Ruka, like, for spirit.
The breath.
Yeah.
In Aramaic, it's the something. Breath. Yeah. It's the air, the wind. Yes.
Yeah,
and if you watch yourself when you're in trauma, one of the things you do, you know, everybody does, is hold your breath. And they're cut off from Ruka. They're cut off from that flow of energy.
Yeah.
So make sure you stay connected. That's one of the keys.
Okay. Well, I definitely will try to look through. So you said it's that website.
whyagain.org.
And then it's just a, like the word for start, like start here.
Yeah, up in the upper left-hand corner of the homepage, there's a start here button. It'll walk you right through. It'll be several links. It'll give you radio shows where we've walked somebody through the worksheet. You know, and if you get into the worksheet process and you have questions, of course, that's one of the reasons we're here 5 days a week, to support you in getting all your questions answered so you know how the tools work.
Okay.
And probably with your Assyrian background, you know, this is in your genes already, so you'll probably have an easier time of accessing it, comprehending it, and really making it work than the average bear, because most people don't have
the sound of the word and stuff. Yeah. I have a last name, like Yonan, like, you know, like Jonah.
Oh, right. Well, actually, that's one of the texts that we've worked with, is the Yonan Codex.
Yeah.
That was the first codex that we started working with. And then because it was an 8th century text and was not very complete, my former partner sent an expedition to the Middle East and found the Kaburis Codex, which is the one we're working with currently. And it's a 10th century copy of a 1st century text and in the original Aramaic language. And that's what we've been working from to try to work to understand the 1st century meanings of what this man Yeshua was saying. And, you know, we're still building brain cells. We're still getting to the point where you go, oh, there's a whole other level. So...
Yeah, that's interesting. I do know my family, like my grandparents, my great-grandparents, they came from a small village known as Ardiche in around the Lake Urmia, in, you know, like in Iran.
Right.
That's where our from.
Huh. I wonder if they're related, because in the early days of working, developing this, again, we were working with the Yonan Codex, and there was a man named Yonan who was one of the scholars, one of the translators of that.
Maybe that that's my great grandfather. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Well, this is going back. Now, this is only this is back in the 70s, so we wouldn't have that many greats before it, but could be in your bloodline. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, I know my...
It's Malik. His first name was Malik.
M-A-L-I-K
was his first name.
Yeah, Malik.
Malik.
Okay. I've heard names like Malik Yonan. I don't know if that's the same one, but it's like I did my ancestry.com. I have a cousin that has like a great-grandfather, or great-great-grandfather has the name Malik. Yonan.
Interesting.
Yeah. But my grandfather was born in the early 1900s, and my great-grandparents are, like, from the 1800s. I'm kind of, like, born kind of late because I'm 30, almost 32 now.
Right.
I guess I'm a little ancient from there, I guess.
Well, that's interesting. And, you know, as you tap in, I suspect that this will probably, you know, when you start looking at it, you start actually using the tool, it's probably going to be pretty natural to you then.
Yeah.
I would love to have the genes in the bloodline of Malik Yonan. That would be a nice foundation for life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I really, really appreciate the show. Like, I kind of feel like I sort of look at it as kind of like a recognition, because, you know, I know certain people, you know, they're like, oh, nobody doesn't really see us, but I feel like they're seeing us. So,
well,
I kind of appreciate putting that out there for people to know the beautiful language.
There is so much wisdom there. I dance around with it, and sometimes I wish I could just go, you know, just steep myself in it, like, you know, a tea bag goes into a cup of tea, you know. But I've never been to the Middle East. I've never, you know, gotten into the culture, but it's powerful, you know, what it shows us, what it tells us. And, you know, I've been working with it for 40 years, and I'm still just building the brain cells and getting new insights, new realizations of the practical application. You know, there's just so many things you can say in Aramaic that, you know, there's not even a concept of. You know, there's some ideas that, I mean, for one single word, it takes a whole paragraph to say it in English. It's one word in Aramaic.
Yeah, I know
Aramaic.
I know there's a lot of dialect within, I think there's like 60, I don't know if it's like over 60, I don't remember, but, you know, there's like a lot of dialect within Assyrian Aramaic language.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like that here too. I can remember the first time I went to the farmer's market in Atlanta, Georgia, and this little kid about maybe 7 years of age came over. And his dad was over there with his tomato cart. This little kid comes over, and he was speaking English, but I could hardly understand what he said. But it went something like, "You need your mater, mister?" Now he was trying to sell me tomatoes, but, you know, I was like, this is a dialect of English I really don't understand. But, you know, his parents understood him. His brothers and sisters understood him. I went over and ended up talking with them. But, you know, it was just like, yeah, they're definitely different accents and strains and meanings that develop. Yeah. But the core spiritual meanings are just so profound.
Yeah.
And you've got, of course, you know, you even go back 2,000 years ago, and Yeshua speaking in the Aramaic, and it was, well, you've got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. It's like, well, gee, I have eyes and ears. What do you mean? I can't. But having eyes, you do not see. If we don't have the brain, of course, he's not talking about physical eyes and ears. He's saying you've got to have the brain cells. If I've got a set of brain cells and I source some words, and you've got a different set of brain cells that you listen through, you won't have a clue of what I said, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Because it's not about physical eyes or physical ears. It's about having matching brain cells. Someone who sources a piece of information from one set of brain cells, if someone builds their perceptual construct of what that person said out of a different set of brain cells, they're going to hear something that doesn't even relate to what the first person said. And most people don't understand that concept. They think, well, I heard the same thing as Bill and Harry and Mary and Hortense, so, you know, we all heard the same thing. Like, no, nobody heard. Listening, hearing doesn't happen in ears. Hearing happens in the brain, just like seeing doesn't happen in eyes. It happens in the brain.
All right. Yeah, I mean, where are you located?
We're in Bristol, Virginia. We've got a teaching center in the Ozarks in southern Missouri. But with COVID right now, it's we haven't opened it since the whole COVID thing started. And so we're, about 2 years ago, my wife's father became ill and couldn't live on his own. So we actually moved to Bristol, Virginia to take care of him. Before that, I'd been on the road pretty much continuously except for our summer seasons at Heartland. I've been on the road for almost 40 years. And so it's kind of nice. We actually live in one place. I put my head in the same pillow in the same bed every night, which for almost 2 years now. It's pretty cool living somewhere. But our teaching center is there, but we're in Bristol, Virginia.
It's funny because I live in Bristol, Connecticut.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, interesting. That's where they have the ESPN headquarters located.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I actually live right down the street from them, pretty much. But yeah, when you said Virginia, I'm like, no, I don't think there's usually, I know a lot of Assyrians, they tend to be like in like Detroit, Chicago, Turlock, I think it's another town in California, Turlock, California, those areas.
Yeah, I know a few years ago I was traveling with a manuscript. We were working on getting high-resolution images of the manuscript made, and it was a whole community in Southern California. And we connected with them, and we did some work with them. It was a nice interaction.
Yeah, I have relatives around that area, too. Wow.
Cool. Well, as you tap into those worksheets, and again, you can put the app right on your phone so you can do the worksheets on your phone. And as questions develop, I mean, it's a really simple, easy process. However, our minds tend to make it complex because everything has to be wired in the opposite direction to what this culture teaches. You know, we live in a culture that says, you know, you did something terrible that caused me all this pain, but it's okay, I'll forgive you. Well, if that's what I believe and that's what I've been steeped in, you know, when I went to church as a kid and I listened to the preacher and I listened to the psychologist and I listened to the psychiatrist and I listened to my parents, if that's what I believe, I'm going to have to do some rewiring to get to the point where I go, oh, forgiving has nothing to do with letting them off the hook because this is inside of me. I need to develop the understanding of how to go inside myself and remove what's causing my pain, what's causing my stress, what's causing my diseases. And when I remove those things, then I'm alleviated of those things. But it's a pretty fair bit of rewiring.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely we'll check it out.
Cool. Well, any support we can be, we're here 5 days a week, 2 hours a day.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and your name again is?
Stateful.
Spell it for me.
It's like, it's STA. C-I-L.
Okay, got it.
It's like Stacy, but yep.
All right. Well, delight to meet you, Stacel. We'll look forward to talking to you again.
Okay.
All right. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great way to open the show.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. We need to keep Stacel's phone number.
I've got it.
Cool. Nice. Well, do we have anything else happening there, Dee, or... Should we just rock and roll?
It's quiet right now, so go for the reading.
All right. Well, let's look at the book then. So why is this happening to me again? And, you know, I'm actually, this is the first time I've read my own book in many years. And I've actually been quite pleased as I'm going through it at the, and in some cases did not know I had the level of comprehension that I had to write what I wrote back 25 years ago. Actually, it's a little more than 25 years. See, I think it was 1995 we published it initially. I guess 1997. I think this was the second edition I've got here. So first edition, I think, was 95. Long time ago. In any event, I've been quite pleased as we've been rereading it when I saw how consistent, although there have been, I mean, in terms of the work, doing the work, it's been, if I go back before writing the book, it was like I'd done no work by comparison. And yet I'm still very happy to be reading it and see how consistent it is with the new insights and new things that have come. And it really speaks about the power of that Aramaic thought structure. It's pretty profound. So we're talking to Richard on the topic of choosing teachers. If you have a copy of the book and you're reading it with us, we're on the top of page 85, partway down page 85. And if you don't have a copy of the book, it is out of print. You can order it from Amazon or from eBay. You'll find several used copies on either of those sites. We should probably be printing it. It's just, you know, sometimes you get spinning so many plates and you can just do so much. And right now, between Dad and our new grandbaby and changing our whole way of doing this work around, the energy consumption is high. I'll say that. And so we're probably not going to get around to doing a reprint of this anytime soon. I've actually been working on doing some editing on it, but... And I am working on a new, what I'm seeing as a live book, so that I won't have to go reprint something. People will be able to buy a digital file. They'll have it on their phones or their computers or whatever, and it will be filled with links. And, you know, as things develop and change, it'll be something I'm visualizing will be stored on our website. So we'll be able to edit your book for you. So it'll be alive. It'll, you know, as new insights come, as new upgrades come, as new tools come in, as new ways of putting things together come, it will be a live book, and it will include links to all sorts of things, like, you know, explanations by experts in many areas where we're synthesizing so many things, bringing experts in from all those areas and planning on links to many, 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 many different things to bring it all together and make sense, to give people a truly holistic course. And one of my doctorates is in holistic philosophy. And, you know, how does it all work together? I mean, if you hear the science dialogue, it's interesting. If you hear the language dialogue, it's interesting. If you hear the spiritual dialogue, it's really interesting. If you hear the medical dialogue, it's interesting. If you hear the psychological dialogue, it's interesting. But when you put it all together, that's when you get the whole picture. That's when the brain, having developed the brain cells, can generate a more complete image of what we're really capable of. If we don't have the accurate brain cells, if we've been wired backward, and how can you tell if you've been wired backward? Wherever there is hostility or fear, your mind's been wired backward. And that has to be undone. It's not something you just say, oh, well, you know, that's backward, but it's okay, it'll fix itself. No, it's going to take, you know, it's like if you've got a virus in a computer, if you've got a program that's not properly written in the computer, you can't just say, oh, well, we'll let it go. Because everything that comes out of that program in the computer in the future is going to be impacted by that virus or that imperfection in the program. In exactly the same way, people are like, oh, well, you know, we'll just let that take care of itself. Well, no, it doesn't take care of itself. It takes conscious, dedicated, directed work to change, especially the power person dynamics in one's bloodline. And that's one of the main things that we're going after with this work. And so the topic of this particular chapter is, how do you choose where you're going to learn it? Because there's so many people out there making all kinds of great promises. And what we're offering is that true health is impossible to achieve when there's discord within the system. You know, that's just another way of saying, if there's a virus in the system, if there's a dysfunction in the programming of the computer, there's going to be a dysfunction in everything the computer outputs through that part of the programming. So when you realize that we're in this device that has been in process of being programmed for thousands of generations, you know, in the ancient Aramaic, they talked about, well, one, the idea of sin, and that sin is an archery term that simply means off the mark. So if you were on the archery range and you fired at the target and you missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper would yell, sin, you're off the mark. And, you know, when they said the wages of sin is death, they were telling you this is how the energy system works. If you put enough energies that are off the mark into this energy system, it's going to die. It's going to come apart. And then they said, they gave us a further piece of information. This is all about building brain cells. They gave us a further piece of information that said the sins, now it isn't just the sins, but in this case that was their focus, the energies that are off the mark are passed, gained through the 3 and 4 generations. Now, that's not a threat. That's just telling us how it works, that these energy patterns are passed from generation to generation. And many of them you're going to get to look at as you heal yourself, something that happened maybe 2, 10, 20 generations ago. Now, they speak of 3 to 4 generations. When you talk about that, you know, did anybody ever tell you, did anybody in school ever tell you that in your body, mind unit, there was every thought, every feeling, every reality that had been generated by everybody in the previous 4 generations to you? That means of 31 lives. It's in you. Sometimes you don't feel like yourself. You wonder why. Because oftentimes those things are not of our true self. And then you stop and think about, well, if it's 4 generations back, where did the 4th generation back get their thoughts and feelings and reality structures? Well, obviously from the previous 4. Who got them from the previous 4? Who got them? If you go back and do the math, in 30 generations, there are 1.6 billion people in your genes. You know how to tell the sex of a chromosome, don't you? Jeannie, do you know how to do that? You pull down its genes.
Don't go there.
Oh, well. So in any event, what we're saying is there are tools with which you access your genetic history and start to clean it up. And if there's stuff in there that isn't working, then it isn't going to work. Sooner or later, you've got to approach it. You've got to deal with it. And, of course, your mind will, like the other generations have done before you, make up realities that you're sure are true about somebody or something out there. And the only reason you're upset about it is because of what they did and what they said. And the only reason you need to kick them out of your lives is because what they did and what they said. And then you start looking at how it's like a power person dynamic to kick people out of your life or abuse them or speak gently to them, tell them how wrong they are and what they've done to you. Or speak brutally to them and tell them how wrong they are and what they've done to you. And, you know, all those games. Until this energy system is functioning out of conscious, active, present love, there's trouble. So what we're looking to do is to build the brain cells for a deep comprehension of health and healing. And one of the things, I can remember this very early in my medical career as a naturopath, I can remember that looking at the whole thing and realizing this component of what happens with the mind, and realizing that this whole study of disease is just a giant error. You don't need to know anything about what causes disease. Well, but Michael, we have schools for that. We have big ivory towers and universities where we cut bodies apart and we look for diseases and we study them and we study them and we study them. You know what? Go do some research. A statistically significant number of physicians and students in medical schools develop the diseases that they're studying. Got a thing called second year syndrome. Second year syndrome is where the kids that are studying these diseases are starting to come down with those diseases. Now, how is that possible? How does that work? Well, if you think you've got a physical body, if they're the brain cells you look at life through, then you look at life through a total, complete, fraudulent lens, and nothing makes sense in the true nature of the world. But when you wake up to how it works, you realize you're living in an energy system, and there are these two qualities of energy. There's that which builds it up and that which tear it down. And if you've got tear down energy, and tear down energy is indicated by the activity of hostility or fear in you, then there's something for you to forgive, something for you to remove from your structure. And yes, you may find yourself removing things that went on 10 generations ago in your bloodline. Remember that story of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years? Do you think that was really about a hot, sandy place where they could have woken up any morning that the sun came up and said, we're going to follow the sun. And, you know, we know it rises in the east and sets in the west. We're going to follow it for a few days. You know, you can't stay in a 35 square mile area for very long if you know anything about the sun. Expected to believe that this group of really bright people who knew astronomy very well got lost in 35 square miles for 40 years. When you realize that that word desert is a code word for the unconscious, they weren't talking about physical bodies lost in a hot, sandy desert. They were talking about you and I stuck in a state of unconsciousness, not knowing what was up. Remember, they said the veil of the temple must be rent in twain. What is the temple? It's your body. What's the veil? It's the barrier between the conscious and the subconscious. Pardon me, that's actually one veil. Then the deeper veil is the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious. That's got to be torn in two. It's not natural for us to have an unconscious mind. And oh, the resistance to opening that because of what's stored there is monumental. So when I start to get safe enough and I have the tools, and what's the key way into the unconscious? Well, you'll notice when people are in trauma, the first thing they do is hold their breath, alter their breathing pattern. When they said the veil of the temple must be rent in twain, that veil is the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious. That veil is built with the breath. You notice when people are in trauma, they hold their breath. Rukh Dukhcha, feminine elemental force in us, in Aramaic, that undoes the effects of earth, teaches us the truth. We need to let that move in us. When we stop holding our breath, when we let that move, then energy moves throughout the system, and we eradicate the unconscious condition. Now we're no longer lost in the desert. Remember what they said to get out of the desert, what had to happen? And the desert went from the desert to the promised land. What was the promised land? It's a land of conscious co-creation. The desert is the land of unconscious creation. What had to happen to get into the promised land? Go read it. The old generation had to die. It didn't mean everybody in old physical bodies had to physically die. The root of the word generation is genari. It means cause. All of the causes, all of the frequency patterns, all of the energetic dynamics that everybody in your bloodline had held their breath over are born and bred in you, and they need to be removed. The old generation, the old causes that mimic the generational pattern of unconscious creation have to be removed. Tool is forgiveness. The vehicle for moving the energy is the breath. You'll notice when you look at that wake-up sheet, over and over and over again, breathe, breathe, breathe. There's a reason for that, because it's the keyway into opening the unconscious and cleaning out its content. So page 85, I'm not sure where that came from, but sounds like fun. Page 85, choosing teachers. So what I've said to, what I've just finished saying to Richard is that without the comprehension of this energy system and healing, any system of so-called healing is bound to be a disease care system, which will consume enormous amounts of wealth. You'll notice if you look at the statistics in the United States, the number one cause of bankruptcy, people losing their homes in America, you know what it is? So-called healthcare debt. It's not a healthcare system, it's a disease care system. So Richard says back to me, that fits for me, but I'm not so sure. Still not sure, Richard looked at me quizzically as he spoke. Isn't it positive thinking to want to love everyone and let go of my need to condemn? It seems like you're telling me not to think that, but if I don't, I'm stuck with my negative thinking, being angry and blaming others. Well, Richard, let me go back to the prison analogy and clarify my point about condemnation. I don't have to condemn the prison in order to inform you. I'd used an example earlier. So if I know somebody who's in prison and I'm going to help them escape, fence that they're going to have to get over, if I let them know about that 20-foot fence before they leave the main compound area, they can get a ladder and get over the fence. So I've used that as an analogy for him earlier in the book. So with that prison analogy, I don't have to condemn the prison in order to inform you of its structure or say, here are the pitfalls. This is where the guards are, and this is the lowest part of the fence over there. You will need a ladder and a positive sense of yourself and what you will face in order to make it through. I can say, beware, the earmarks of the fake teacher are blank, and identify the characteristics. I can let you know that certain behavior does not support your highest and best. I can warn you, be aware if you find yourself or someone else doing those things and be in support of healing those behaviors, all without condemning. However, if your inner dialogue speaks to you frightfully about condemning, perhaps you'll need to heal your listening and rid yourself of the need to gloss over what does not work. So again, we're back to that point about premature positive thinking, and that oftentimes people get lost in that trying to positive think on top of a negative foundation. And speaking of negative foundations, brings to mind, I've been watching a little bit, reading a little bit about this collapse of the building in Florida, and just invite everybody to take a quiet minute to just really tap in with your heart and really be holding those folks in a space of love. It's pretty, I was thinking this morning, especially about the first responders and what they must have to process personally to attend something like that. And, you know, that kind of tragedy is pretty heavy duty. So everybody that's involved, family, friends, we send you our love. We hold the space. And our voice for let's get back on track with decent regulation of businesses that will do things like cut this kind of shortcut and leave people vulnerable. You know, the whole regulation game. Oh, we're going to get rid of regulation. Yeah, well, it makes businesses a whole lot more profitable. Yep, a lot more money in it. But it costs people their lives. This is a product of misregulation. It should be my offering. So we send love and we hold the space for correction that really puts us into a truly whole perspective on life and how this energy system works, and support of each person living truly as we are, and bring you forward higher and higher states of being. And so we're delighted that you're here with us. And Miss Jeannie, we're down to about 20 minutes. Do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, but there are a couple of hands, or not hands, but a couple of phone numbers in the switchboard. And we have heard from them recently about them not being brave enough to speak up. So this is the time to speak up.
Somebody got a thought for us? How can we support you?
Press one. Be brave.
Yeah, press one. Let's have a conversation.
The thought that came to mind, there's in the Course in Miracles, there's a verse, and I can't quote it, but it talks about that, you know, God has a plan for us, and if there is a plan that is made for us, would he not also make the way for us, and that we're not left alone, and that if we just step forward, that everything will be, you know, the path will be clear. There'll not be a stone to trip on or nothing to bar our way.
One.
And so that came to my mind. So the only thing that's barring your way from pressing one is yourself. So press one.
There you go. Once you have accepted his plan as the one function that you would fulfill, there will be nothing else that Ruka Dikuja will not arrange for you. Without your effort, she will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way. No stones to trip on, no obstacles to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you. Not one seeming difficulty but will melt away before you reach it. You need take thought for nothing, careless of everything, except the one purpose that you would fulfill. And that fulfillment is guaranteed because it rests on you, a son or daughter of the Most High.
That
I haven't thought of a passage in a while, sweetie. Thank you for bringing that up.
I love that passage.
Yeah,
I was
powerful.
Not a follower of the Course in Miracles. I had never even heard of it until I met you. And that is absolutely one of my favorite sections because it's just, you know, there's also an Irish prayer, something about may the sun always shine upon your face and the wind be at your back. And so it kind of reminds me of that. It's like all of the forces work for us and with us. And we have the ability as conscious creators to choose which direction that's going to go. You know, the creator will allow us to choose to fall down if that's what we choose to do. And
right.
We're in charge of our path. And I speak that to myself as much as anybody to remember that.
We hear you. I'm with you here. I hear you, sweetie. And, you know, it ties right in. You know, the other day you dug out the quote that talks about how we're given a sound mind. We're not given a mind of fear, but we're given a sound mind. And, you know, there are preachers out there that are just screaming and raging at people about how sinful they are and how evil they are and how there's only one hope, and that's if you do what I say. And they totally ignore it. The Creator said, I gave you a sound mind. Well, is this teaching we're hearing in churchianity really about those scriptures? How much of them really are about those scriptures? How much of them are about false teachers controlling men and women for their own benefit? You know, the key is, who does the benefit go to, whether you're in front of a false teacher or a true teacher? If it's a true teacher, the benefit's going to you. If it's a false teacher, benefit's going to them. And the benefit is connecting you to your highest source. And layer by layer, level by level, they talk about here a little, there a little, is opening up that understanding. So that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to support.
That made me also think, it's like file folders. You know, we talk about one thing and then file folder pops up.
Exactly.
But it made me think, you know, the other day for the first time when Aria was here and actually Ryan was still here too and they were eating breakfast. And I don't remember what it was she did. And she goes, oh, bad Aria. And Ryan says, you're not bad. you know, but that means she's heard it from somewhere or either heard the, you know, bad dog or whatever. But I just, it was kind of brought up sadness for me.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, and you know,
and we do have.
Go ahead, sweetie.
I was just going to say we do have a hand up now.
Great. So, but before we go to the hand, let's just breathe a little bit, and support the processing of that sadness or the, perhaps the fear of loss for Aria, and open the space within ourselves because, of course, she's in our genes. And so that's probably exactly one of the next things that needs to process, to let loose of that, to open the space for her to go to the next level. You know, she's the next generation. And if we're not trapped, you and I mean personally, in the old generation, then we can bring her into a truly new generation rather than just replicate the old one, which is what, you know, people who are living in the in carbon-based memory are doing, just replicating the old dynamics. So
right.
I join you in breathing through that one and letting loose of it and really truly seeing her as who she is and knowing how to get to her the message of her goodness and her wellness and her wholeness and her amazing genius and sweet presence.
Yeah, you notice I've been kind of going through that. You're beautiful. You're awesome. You're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And sweetie, so are you.
Yep.
Smoke and mirrors, girl. Smoke and mirrors. All right, well, let's talk to our caller.
All right, I believe it's
and
Susan.
We'll breathe on
it's
that
10-0?
After the show.
Yeah. You're on the air, Susan.
Hi. Hi, boy.
Hey, young lady, welcome.
Really, thanks. You're touching on a really important subject with little Aria. When we had our daughter and son, we just cherished them and played with them and loved them and a lot of good physical contact, lots of kisses and hugs, and we really thought we were protecting them, not knowing anything about the work or even the Course in Miracles at that time. But this morning I went up to get my son's dog, which I do every day, and walk the dog. His wife
right.
is in the kitchen, and I say, how was Jonathan's trip? He went away for 2 days. She said it was good, but it was hard. He had his mental junk going on. I said, where is he now? And she said, oh, he's in bed. And I said, I wonder if he'd like to go for a walk. She said, I'll go up and check because he's been feeling just awful. She goes in there. She finds him trying to sleep, just, you know, trying to get away from his thoughts. And she says, get up and go for a walk. And he says, no, I'm paralyzed. She says, get out of bed. So he came down, and he did look. His face was just filled with pain. We went for a walk. He told me about a dream he had had, which I can't remember the details, but it was like his life is an allegory of his life. And what came out of all that was simply that when he went to first grade, he was found to be unable to read. Well, none of the kids can read, or very few at first grade. So he called us up in a panic because we were away, and he says, Mom, I can't read. And I said, you're not supposed to. You're in school to learn how to read. You can relax. He said, but some of the kids know how to read, and I don't know. Well, anyway, panic. But that's when it started. He felt inadequate.
Yeah.
Turns out he's an ambidextrous boy with dyslexia. And in his elementary school, they had a program, I've told you about this, Talented and Gifted. He didn't get into
right.
the Talented and Gifted, but all of his friends were in Talented and Gifted. So toward the end of the day, they'd call the talented kids and the gifted kids, and they'd go on a special thing. The dumb kids, as he took it, because he was not stupid, were left behind. He would come home and he'd say, why is it that I'm the leader of my group? I plan all the events. We do street hockey. We climb trees. We go to the park. I'm the organizer. But when I'm in school, I'm the stupid one. Why is that?
That's the empowered brain.
Yeah, but it's all of his difficulties now. The reason he is afraid to choose the life he really wants is that he is busy proving that he can earn a lot of money and be very smart and be a great doctor and do all these things, which he can because he's very bright. But he thinks he's only faking it. He's been faking it all this time. And
you know what
seems
really,
so global. What?
Yeah, it is global. It is global. A really empowerment, a conversation that might open a new level of internal empowerment for him is to, you know, if you've had this conversation with me, you've got that insight, is to talk about how, you know, son, you went into a teaching disabled system and they turned around and made you the learning disabled one.
Oh, that's nicely put.
And or you turned it around and made yourself the learning disabled one. Notice, as you said, you're the bright kid who was able to organize everything, and it was the same in school, but because the challenges were different and they didn't know how to deal with your level of intelligence, they wrote over you. And that might be the start of him being able to open and forgive that reality that he holds about himself that just, you know, makes no sense in the context of who he is. But in the context of the self that he's built, it's perfectly sensible.
Mm. We must have walked for 2 miles or something. We kept approaching his house, and he'd say, oh, I need to go around the block again. So we kept going and going and going. And he was just talking. He was just talking about all this. And my feeling of overwhelm, I was doing little worksheets in my head saying, breathe, be calm. This is a good thing. Don't panic. Because it seemed overwhelming to me, the amount of having been spiritually crushed as a child, and we didn't go to bat for him. He used to come home and complain, and I'd just say, you know you're smart. We know you're smart. But he was sent to remedial reading, and he was always called out over the PA system. Jonathan Bingham, come on to the reading room now with Mrs. So-and-so. And it was all of it just pounding it into him that he was less than, less than, less than.
So and, that's a teaching disabled defective system that gave him messages that aren't true, and he needs to be forgiving those messages. And, you know, that's what the worksheet does. It's about removing that content. Literally, really, removing the emotional energy. That's where the breath comes in. And I think it's awesome because walking, you got to breathe. And having you there holding the space, active love, whatever. I mean, just let that fountain bubble. I mean, that fountain might bubble for the next 5 years, Orb. It might bubble for the next 5 years for him to clear out all of those energetic patterns. And the fact that he was able to be with you and do that is awesome.
Oh, I'm glad you think so. I just thought, you know, how do we go from here? But
hold love.
Yeah, he wrote to me later.
Active and present. And create the safe space for everything to come up and be looked at and processed through. And remember our definition of processing, the ability to keep love conscious, active, and present when something less than love comes up. You don't have to do anything about it. Just be the space.
Oh, good to be reminded. Good to be reminded.
Breathe. Breathe.
Well,
he wrote
later and said that walk helped so much that I was able to do some of the paperwork at the hospital that I know I need to do to have my leave of absence. And I've been telling him, call it a sabbatical. Teachers get a sabbatical every 7 years. You've been 20 years without much of a break, except here and there when you hit a wall. This is a sabbatical year. You don't have to explain. You just say you were really tired and needed a sabbatical year. You're taking it. So anyway,
And you might even add to the sabbatical idea, this is your self-healing year. This is where everything comes to the surface that you get to process through and come out a whole new creation, a whole restructured man.
Yeah. His temptation is to go right back to work as soon as he feels rested enough to go back in. And I say, you've come up to this wall so many times. It's time to go through the wall.
Right.
Instead of just bouncing back into that system again. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on him, internal and external, to go back to work. And Michael,
well, it
sounds
like your walks creates a whole new process for him to do it through. If he's not going to sit down and do worksheets, then, you know, and one of the questions to ask often, you know, different points as they come up, well, what's the goal? What do you suppose is the goal there that you've got all that frustration about? And just the invitation, well, you know, you might want to cancel that goal. You know, who knows what's going to bubble up, but, you know, that's the process.
Oh,
so that's awesome that you've got his ear. That's fabulous.
I feel as if you and Tim Hayes have been walking me through this period of time.
We're just doing our job.
It's a great thing to do.
There's a song I've come across recently. It's called "Walking on the Moon." And as you say that, the lyric, the melody line of it's really cute. It's just this little female voice that says, "Walking on the moon." So here you are, walking on the moon with your son, bringing healing. It's perfect. I'll send you a link to the song.
Good. I wanted to say to Jeannie that Irish prayer, "May the road rise to meet you. May the sun be, wind be always at your back. May the sun shine bright or warm upon your face." It's a beautiful one. And there was a little boy, age 6, when I was working in the public schools millions of years ago, a little Irish boy who was freak accident killed. He poked his head out into the street at the wrong moment, and a truck went by, and the rearview mirror knocked his head right off.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Ew.
I know, and the mother was standing right there holding books in one arm and a hand on another kid. And so this was just such a thing. But anyway, that prayer, I found that prayer and set it to music, and it's nice. I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, please do. I love that.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, it's a nice song. So, and my Psalm 130 with the revised... "That you may be feared," revised to "That you may be revered," because it sounded just sort of like it is. I'll send you that one,
yes,
too. That's awesome. Thanks. Well, thanks for the input. Oh, my gosh. That was so helpful. You really should have a little note at the base of my score now saying, "Text revised by Aramaic scholar Dr. Michael Rice." Yeah. So, thanks, guys. Well,
hey, absolutely delighted. You know, we're doing what we're here to do, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that.
Well, I feel as if you've set my marching orders for the day. I really know how to put one foot in front of the other for the next increment, whatever it is. So, thanks.
Sweet. Sweet.
All right.
So I'm going to just play in the background for a moment before we finish this show. This is a little tune that you might hear as you're walking with your son. Take me a second to get it set up here. So we see you walking on the moon with Jonathan. It's a cute tune. I'll send you a link to it. Are you still with us?
Oh, I muted her because we're down to 20 seconds.
Oh, okay. Everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. Awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
I choose to live more consciously.
evolving continuously.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.